And welcome to Sapphic Survival Guide, where we are queer to answer your questions. My name's Cheyenne.
And I'm Gina.
And class is now in session. We have another guest with us today. So, Pigginson, can you introduce yourself to everyone and let them know what you're all about?
I'm Soph Pigginson. I'm a music producer, singer, songwriter. I'm a Leo, a lesbian.
Yes.
And I go by she, her.
Thank you. How'd you get into music producing? Like, I don't even know how one gets into that career path.
Well, it all just started really with me just experimenting while I was at work and when I was doing just a normal job. And I'd go onto my dad's computer and start messing about. And I was already into music anyway because I'd grown up with a guitar or the piano as well. So I was already doing musical stuff anyway, but it all just started with me using YouTube actually to begin with. And then I just started connecting with people and it was just word of mouth, and that's how you get around in the music industry.
That's pretty cool. Is that pretty big with women, like if you're on dates and stuff, to like pull out your guitar?
Yes.
Do they like that?
Yes.
That's okay.
I'm very romantic, I guess, pivoting as to well. That. So,
yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your queer journey?
Yeah. So, to be honest, I don't think I actually really came out as such in a way. I know I'm very fortunate that I had that experience because a lot of people don't. It's very difficult. And, you know, but to be honest, it was quite a shock. I mean, I think my gay awakening was Wynonna Earp.
So about like, how long ago would you say that was?
I was about 17, so 17, I think that must have been about 7 years ago.
Can you explain Wynonna Earp for everyone? Just, I've heard the name. I know it's like a TV show. I just like remember hearing about it on Tumblr. That's all I know.
it's like a supernatural TV show. To be honest, I haven't watched it for a very long time, but it was like the way I came across it was by seeing a video of them two together.
Yeah.
Like a fan video or like
on Instagram. And then I was like, oh my god, I need to watch this, but I didn't even know, I didn't realize that that's what it was. And then I tried to come out as bi originally at first to my dad. The only person I told was my dad, and then I just let the rest be because I don't really like to make a massive deal out of it personally. But
yeah,
I came out as bi originally because I thought that it would be better. I was scared. I thought it would be better than, you know, just coming out as a fully fledged lesbian.
We just had a bisexual episode where we kind of talked about that and like why one person might identify as bisexual and like kind of stay with that identity. And then some people it evolves, or it's just like feels a little bit like less scary or more comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know. It's a destination for some and a process for others, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that it was going to be more accepted. For some reason, I thought that.
Yeah, I feel like we don't know about biphobia. Like,
I
feel like people don't really talk about it as much. So it's like, oh, that'll be like a good stepping stone for me. But you don't realize the entire like set of like problems that come along with being bisexual in like a compact society.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Was your dad pretty receptive to it? Like, did he make a big deal about it? Or
he was fine. I panicked for nothing.
I
should have known though, because like, you know, we've always had a good relationship. I mean, he raised me, so and I think he knew. I think he had like
an inkling.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there'd be times when I was younger, I'd be like into, you know, like the female Power Rangers or something along those lines. And I don't get why I took so long to notice.
Yeah. So you feel like it was more of an epiphany that it happened, or was it like a slower realization over the years?
I think it was an epiphany, because I mean, I used to be one of those people. I think this must have been internal homophobia or something, because I used to be one of those people that, ew, lesbians, I don't know how they do it. It's gross.
I would never like that.
Exactly. That's what I said. And oh, look at me now.
Right. Yeah.
I wrote in my diary once as well, over this girl who I used to want to be best friends with. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, I hope she doesn't think I'm a lesbian. And so, she did. So
it's interesting how other people can like realize that about us before we even have like the self-knowledge and like the words for it and the experience. Like, I don't know, I feel like I definitely also had people like clock me as gay before I even came to terms with it.
So naive.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, their gaydar was way better than mine ever was.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did your songwriting and music career and producing everything, did that start before or after the epiphany?
That started before the epiphany. Yeah.
So was your songwriting like changing as you kind of came more into like queerness?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. It's safe to say though, I think it's made me a lot more hopeless, romantic kind of poet. You know, I think that's the lesbian way actually.
Yeah. Yeah. That's lesbian culture. You're helping the culture with your songwriting.
Yeah.
We need more.
We've been writing about women in your diary yearning since 11. Yeah. So yeah.
Proper talent.
Who would you
moment.
Say your queer like musical inspiration is, or just like favorite artists?
I've kind of had inspiration from lots of different mm-hmm. avenues over the years, and I've changed from different genres. I mean, now I'm doing indie, all different kinds of indie, and to be honest, just a mixture of everyone. I mean, I am a Swiftie. So
enough said. Yeah.
So I can say that I can say Taylor Swift, and yeah. The rest, I think it's just lots of different random people.
Do you see a lot of other queer artists, or is that like who you're trying to produce music for, or is it kind of hard to find other queer people in the music industry right now?
I am trying to include more people like us into my label, which is one of the reasons why I created my own record label, because the music industry is a really terrible, terrible place. And it's just so corrupt, full of lies and greed and exploitation. And unfortunately, based on my own experience, a lot of people who are in the music industry who are, you know, when you see it in the media and they say, oh, this person's gay, a lot of it is actually just for show. It's not real, unfortunately.
And interesting.
I can't name drop anybody because, again, I'll get sued. But
of course.
These are people who I've worked with who are quite big, who you will know. And they're very out there.
Is it Harry Styles?
They've been exploited.
Also, no. We can cut it out.
No.
No, you don't have to tell. But that was like who I was thinking. I was, because you know, people always say that about Harry Styles. So, and like, I, you know, whether or not he's queer doesn't affect me in any way. But that's who I'm envisioning right now.
I think he's genuine. I think he's genuine.
But, it is interesting that at one point I feel like that could have ruined your career, and now people are using it to gain clout. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, because I thought you were going to go in the opposite direction and say like a lot of, you know, obviously people that have to suppress their sexualities to be like palatable to a heterosexual audience and like can't be forthcoming mm-hmm. about who they truly are because they have to like exhibit a certain persona.
Right.
To be marketable.
Yeah, I think that there has been a lot of that as well in the industry as well. But like now in recent years, it was like that. But then now in recent years, they've kind of pushed it the other way and used them, you know, exploited them in that way to gain clout and, you know, market them and appeal to an audience that they know would support them. They've like used the community to their advantage, and that's what all these big labels do. They dominate the entire industry.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
Wow.
Yeah, like the one that now has all the music pulled from TikTok because they have such a monopoly on so much of the industry. Was it like Universal or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't like that. Yeah. I feel like they're also notorious for not like giving artists the rights that they should. So, and that's when you just get these big, I don't know, corporations essentially. I don't think a lot of the rights and freedom is coming from the artists, which sucks.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the main things that I'm trying to change with my own label, because I just don't agree with the way things are in the industry. I think, you know, artists aren't being paid properly for their work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to get thousands and thousands of streams before you even start earning anything.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people dream of getting like a big deal with Universal, but then they see on the inside what it's all really about, and it's not all that it seems. I mean, they mm-hmm. own everything.
Right. What do you hope to do differently with your record label, the company?
Well, we've already started working on ways to make sure that the artists get more money and have full ownership of their work, because I don't agree with the whole you do all the work and then somebody else owns it and holds it against you for the rest of your career.
Mm-hmm.
Like what happened with Taylor Swift. And mm-hmm. we're just trying to find little loopholes, and that's why I'm gonna sound really sneaky now, but this is why I've infiltrated the music industry first, so that I can learn what they do and what they do wrong, and then take the good things, which is very few by the way, and change all the corruption and make it more fair for artists who want to sign.
Do you have advice for people who want to support artists, especially like a smaller musician or group that like is kind of outside the because I feel like people aren't really buying albums as much anymore, and then like tours, sometimes people don't come near you at all, and so like,
and I've
it's
heard
hard.
Spotify's like low-key screwing over the mm-hmm. artists mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, well, do you have any advice for supporting
as far as Spotify goes? Universal actually own all the biggest playlists on Spotify. So that's where the main problem is. They're very endorsed by these huge labels.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to support an artist is, if you can, to buy their albums or their songs on, because iTunes is still a thing, but a lot of people now have resulted into having their songs on their websites now, so you can purchase them that way, so that the money goes directly to them, or you can support them on Patreons or memberships, and that's the way that they make their money. They won't make it through streams.
And it's not really so sad. You create this art and you just want people to hear it, and that's not how you're gonna make money. Like, this, I don't know, it's just sad.
I mean, you don't have to do it for the money, but it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy mm-hmm. and a lot of effort.
Yeah, and you need money to survive. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't make it without having money to fuel your body at the very least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Do you have anything you wish you could go back and tell your younger self, like before you had your big epiphany or around the time, or just any advice that you would give to people just coming to terms with their sexual identity and gender identity? And
well, as far as my younger self goes, I think if I could say anything, it would be to just go with the flow and don't try to fight it too much, which is what I did originally, because it's okay. And I think for people who are just trying to figure themselves out, and you know, it all depends on circumstances, whether you're safe or not. If you're in a safe environment, then you can, and you feel like you can come out, then do so. But if unless you're in that safe space and you know that you'll still have somewhere to go at the end of the day, it's probably best to try and live with it for now until you know that you can find somewhere safe to go. Because I know not everybody has the same circumstances that I had when I had my epiphany. I know I'm really fortunate that I had that, but I do feel for the people who don't.
Do you have any advice for queer artists or queer people looking to break into the music industry or just like get into songwriting or anything like that?
Well, honestly, I think as far as being queer in the industry goes, you need to just at this point be yourself, because obviously a lot of people now are a lot more accepting in the industry now. And it was hard at one point to get to in and get yourself heard. But I think what's really working at the moment is standing out, and just even if you are really unusual, like in style or in aesthetic, I think what's working the most at the moment is really being different and standing out from the norm, because a lot of people have noticed that a lot of things within the industry are the same because that's how they've been sculpted to be by people like Universal and Warner, things like that. So I think the best thing to do is to just do what you feel is right. Do your own creative songwriting, and don't be afraid to just put it out there as you've made it without feeling like you need to conform.
I love it.
Yeah.
So where can people find you, your music, all of the artists you're producing's music? Where should people go to find it all?
So if you follow me on Instagram, at Sophe Higginson, that's where I'll be posting most of it. I've just relaunched my record label's website. So over the next few weeks, I'll have more on there of the artists I've already signed, their work I've produced for them, because at the moment, all the artists that I sign, I produce all of their music for them. Me and a couple of my other producers who work with me. And soon I'll be releasing a new album. It's very gay.
Yes. Yay. Can't wait to hear it.
It's very gay. I haven't got anything out at the moment because I've started a fresh era, because I want people to just listen to this new album that I'm about to release. I've been working on it for quite a while, and yes, it's very emotional and very gay.
Yeah, good. We will obviously tag and promote. So on our socials, we'll make sure that people know where to find all that music. Wow. So everyone will know how to find you. And then for us, you can, of course, follow us anywhere online at Sapphic Survival Guide, except for X, which is just at Sapphic Survival. We have a Patreon ourselves, patreon.com/Sapphic Survival Guide. And you can DM us all of our questions. And you can also send us an email, sapphicsurvivalguide@gmail.com, or a voicemail, 724-209-7372. And you can find me anywhere online at The Libra Gina, including my website, thelibragina.com.
And you can find me, Cheyenne, at Hot Mess Beard, on pretty much any social media platform. And with that, class is now dismissed.